All right, good morning, everyone.
Before we begin our activities today, I'd like to turn the floor over to Metro's Chief Safety Officer, Mr. Lavin, for this morning's safety contact.
Good morning. In case of an emergency, we'll exit through the main doors or closest exits, which are illuminated by an exit sign. We'll assemble on the lawn at the National Building Museum across the street. An automated external defibrillator is available behind the guard station. Fire extinguishers are strategically located throughout the building. Restrooms are past the guard desk on the left. Today's safety contact will focus on holiday fire safety. Decorating homes and businesses is a long-standing tradition around the holiday season. Unfortunately, some of these decorations may increase your chances of fire. Play the video, Ryan.
This message brought to you by FEMA. Be fire safe during the holidays. Only use decorations that are non-flammable or flame retardant. Check holiday lights each year for frayed wires or excessive wear, and do not link more than 3 strands. Never leave a burning candle unattended. Consider using battery-operated flameless candles which look and smell like real candles. If your celebration includes a natural tree, keep it away from any heat source or exit. Water your tree daily to keep it from becoming dry. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov.
Thank you for your time today, and please have a safe holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's right behind the guard station.
All right, everybody. All right, thank you, Mr. Lavin. We only have one item on the agenda today, the annual audit awareness training. That is required for board members as part of their oversight responsibilities. I would like to note that since this is a required training for all board members, we are joined by the board's alternative directors this morning who will be participating in the training. Our training will be conducted by Elizabeth Sullivan, Metro's Chief Risk and Audit Officer. All right, Ms. Sullivan, welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You have to make this very exciting and lively. Audit training, so I'm looking forward to
it. Give it my best shot.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, and welcome to today's session on internal control and risk management principles. Our session today will satisfy the audit awareness training requirement outlined in Article 3, Section 1 of the bylaws. Our session today will help us accomplish certain objectives, but however, before I go into the session, just to point you briefly to some information that was previously made available to you. In addition to the training slides, you were provided reference material and guidance and standards of internal control and enterprise risk management, both from the Committee of Sponsoring Organizations of the Trade Rate Commission, or COSO. Both executive summary documents cover each topic, risk and internal control, in more detail than we would have time to cover at our session today. So let's talk about our session objectives. In addition to the fulfilling this training requirement, we aim to increase internal control and awareness of internal control as well as risk management principles. We will meet this objective by talking through or revisiting, I should say, definitions of risk as well as internal control, and we'll do this also by talking through some fundamental concepts. We want to focus on specifically board oversight responsibilities, and we will discuss these oversight responsibilities by using the COSO Enterprise Risk Management Framework for Risk, considering its 20 principles relevant to the board oversight responsibility. We will also talk about responsibility for internal control using the COSO Internal Control Integrated Framework, along with its 5 components and 17 principles, again, focusing on the board oversight responsibilities. We'll wrap up our session by just a brief discussion on recent management activities that have been directed towards enterprise risk management. So let's talk about the definition of internal control. As you look at that definition, please focus on a few key items or key words there. It's a process. It's affected by people, starting with the board. It provides reasonable assurance. It points to the achievement of objectives. Some key concepts for internal control as we move over to our next slide. It's geared towards the accomplishment of objectives. It's a process consisting of ongoing tasks and activities. Internal control by itself, it's not an end. It's very much a means to an end. Also, if internal control, again, thinking about our slide four, is affected by people. So it's not just about policies and procedures or manuals or systems or things of that nature, but it's about what people of an organization, the actions they take at every level of an organization. Internal control, however, has some limitations in that it provides reasonable assurance, not absolute assurance. However, it is very flexible in its application. It is adaptable to any organization, and internal control, again, is geared towards the achievement of objectives. One very important concept to think about is that internal control is very much everyone's responsibility. I mentioned earlier that board responsibilities, we'll talk about board responsibilities for risk and internal control based on the COSA frameworks, both the risk as well as the internal control framework. That said, just want to give you a little bit information about COSA. Committee of Sponsoring Organization of the Trade Rate Commission, COSO, is a private sector initiative established back in 1985, initially to help improve situations around fraudulent financial reporting. It's made up of five organizations, and it first developed its framework back in 1992. This framework was updated, and it now has 17 explicit principles that helps an organization to manage its internal control process. The COSO board also updated its enterprise risk management framework in 2017, really to recognize the changing and evolving business environment and provide a structure for managing risk across an organization. So if I could direct your attention, please, to the board, to the screen, where we have the five components of internal control as well as its 17 principles. Again, we'll talk about this briefly, only to highlight board-specific responsibilities. Under the control environment, which is the foundation of all other components of internal control, it provides the discipline and the structure established by the board as well as senior management. The standards and structure set by the control environment is expected to help enable all other control components as well as all activities around internal control. In terms of the board responsibilities that are expressed through these five principles looking under control component, it is the board's responsibility to establish integrity and ethical values as well as define and oversee standards of conduct for the organization. As we think about principles 3, 4, and 5, the board is responsible for establishing an oversight structure aligned with the objectives of an organization, developing expectations for competence, as well as maintaining accountability to all members of the oversight body as well as the key stakeholders. The board is also responsible for commissioning oversight effectiveness reviews as well as ensuring that opportunities for improvement are being addressed. Looking at the risk assessment component of the framework, this component provides guidance for identifying and as well as analyzing relevant risks to the achievement of an organization's objectives. It also forms a basis for the management of risk across the organization. A precondition, however, for the risk assessment is to have clearly stated objectives, because assessing risk and managing risk means that we have an objective that the risk could prevent us from achieving. The responsibilities for the board, however, looking at the four principles associated with this component, includes the board having a oversight responsibility for managing the assessment of risks to the achievement of objectives. The board is expected to evaluate the potential impact of significant changes, as well as considering internal and external factors that could pose a significant risk to the achievement of these objectives. The board should also be determining whether or not management is proactively managing innovations and changes that could trigger the way the risk profile should be considered. Things that could be triggered by technology, budgetary shifts, as well as political shifts could change the risk profile of an organization. Control activities is the third component, which helps to ensure that management directives are being carried out. In terms of the board responsibilities for control activities, as expressed by the three components, three principles within that component, the board should have oversight over management's development and performance of control activities. As part of this board oversight responsibility, the board should make specific inquiries of management regarding its selection, development, deployment of internal control activities, especially when we think about significant areas of risk. In terms of information and communications, which is our fourth component, this involves the identification, capture, and communication of data and pertinent business information in a form and time frame that enables an organization to carry out its responsibilities. The board is responsible, as expressed by the three principles within this component, to ensure that there's communication of direction of the tone at the top. One of the responsibilities of the board is to set the tone at the top. The board would also be responsible for communicating that tone. The board is also responsible to ensure that it allows upward communication of issues as well as a reacting to those issues. Leaving us our fifth component of this principle, of our framework, monitoring. The monitoring helps ensure that internal controls continue to operate effectively and involves the assessment of appropriate controls within a suitable time frame. This component requires ongoing and separate evaluations of internal controls. Focusing on the board responsibilities expressed through the two principles in this component, the board is responsible for assessing and overseeing the nature and scope of monitoring activities across the organization. The board should also oversee management's evaluation and remediation of any noted deficiencies. So now let us shift our focus to risk management. We mentioned earlier that internal controls are geared towards the achievement of objectives. Well, risk management is also an important component of ensuring successful achievement of our objectives. The reality, though, is that whether an organization is for-profit or not-for-profit or governmental, it does exist to provide value to its stakeholders. All entities face risk in the pursuit of value. For us here at Metro, this value includes our objective to keep Metro safe, reliable, and affordable. So if we look at a quick definition there for risk, risk by definition is the possibility that an event will occur and affect the achievement of strategy or business objectives, which may be positive or negative. I'm sure you've heard the terms of the upside and the downside of risk. Sometimes risk could in fact be an opportunity. Like most organizations today, we operate in an increasingly complex and regulated environment that requires strong governance and sound business practices. Risk management is important now more than ever, especially because all organizations face uncertainties as they aim to accomplish their objectives. Looking at our next slide, which has information on our principles of why risk is important, why risk management is important. Actually, before we go to that, let's just talk about enterprise risk management, which is a term that I should just explain quickly. Enterprise risk management is a process that allows organizations to identify, evaluate, and manage risk that could significantly disrupt the successful achievement of mission and objectives. In our training presentation that you have, we have multiple definitions, so please consult that for some more details. So just some things to clarify in terms of enterprise risk management. It's not necessarily a department or function. It really is the culture, the capabilities, the practices that an organization integrates with developing and carrying out its strategy with the purpose of managing the portfolio of risk presented to the organization. Again, about why risk management is important, which is on our slide 8. I'm sure you would agree with the reasons here noted why enterprise risk management is important. And this is also reinforced, especially if you think about in the federal agencies now with A123, they're required to actually have a risk management process. So I'll leave you with those thoughts about why risk management is important as you consult that. Thinking in our slide 9, where we have risk management principles outlined. So the Coastal Enterprise Risk Management Framework provides us with 5 components as well as 20 principles that clearly state how an organization could approach managing its risk. The Coastal Enterprise Risk Management Framework provides important considerations for the board in defining and addressing risk oversight responsibilities. These considerations are expressed within the components, which include governance and culture, strategy and objective setting, performance, information communication and reporting, as well as review and revision of practices to enhance performance. Just like with internal controls, if you think about the individual principles, only the ones relevant for board oversight responsibilities. Our first principle here states that the board has general oversight responsibility for risk management. And this would include assessing the appropriateness of an entity's strategy and alignment to its mission and vision as value, as well as the related risks that that would prevent the organization from meeting its objective. Looking at our second principle, the board should define risk governance roles, and create structures including subcommittees that allow appropriate management of risk given the organizational internal as well as external context. Looking at our principle 7, just briefly, also states or suggests the board should discuss and understand risk appetite and consider whether it aligns with its expectations. Risk appetite, simply by definition, is the type and amount of risk an organization is willing to take in the accomplishment of its objectives. Our next principle, as part of this oversight role, the board should encourage management to think about its inherent risks as well as those risks that are inherent to its business given this established objectives. Along those lines, looking into our performance category, the board should oversee management's assessment of risk to the achievement of these objectives. Principle 10, 11, 12, and 13 describe what a typical risk assessment process should look like. It enables the identification of risk, the assessment of severity based on a defined criteria, as well as prioritizing risk as a basis for a risk response or selecting a risk response, and then, of course, this ongoing monitoring as well. A good risk management process allows for the identification of known risk, but also the identification of emerging risk. And this is important. Why? Well, because the risk you know and understand may not, at the end of the day, be the most important risk. So looking into Principle 16, again, very briefly here, this principle suggests that the board should also ensure that management is thinking through risks in terms of performance. As we know, at every risk-taking level at an organization, there is a resulting level of performance. So the key here is finding the balance between the expected performance and the amount of risk an organization is willing to take. The board should also make sure that management is communicating, looking at Principle 19, the board should make sure that management is communicating appropriate information and insights that are conducive to effective risk management. Moving over to slide 10, responsibilities of internal control of risk management. All we have here is stated what we've discussed really briefly here about board responsibility, and stated side by side is the management responsibility also for risk and internal controls. We mentioned earlier on, as far as internal controls are concerned, that is everyone's responsibility. Just briefly stated here is a summary of those responsibilities. Something to note, governance is important. It sets the organizational tone, reinforcing the importance of and establishing oversight responsibilities for risk management. So we turn over to slide 11. Something to reflect on as we think about the board oversight responsibilities we have discussed so far. Questions to ask ourselves. Are we asking the right questions when it comes to risk and internal controls as an oversight committee, as an oversight body? All right, moving over to our next slide. At this point, it seems appropriate to just briefly share with you some information about ongoing efforts directed at enterprise risk management. Like most organizations, Metro has always managed risk as part of managing its business, but we are in the initial stages of implementing a more coordinated process focused on assisted management to proactively manage risk in a coordinated fashion. Back in May 2017, we began to implement enterprise risk management, implement a plan and a framework, and to provide this consistent method of setting priorities and identifying risk across the organization. Activities accomplished so far, briefly, developed a multi-year implementation plan in 5 phases, incorporating efforts that have come from 2014 and beyond around risk management, also incorporating recommendations from the GAO in terms of managing financial management specific risks. We have developed a proposed framework, an enterprise policy. An enterprise risk management policy is also being proposed, which would expand focus beyond financial management, and as well as ensure that we meet expectations. One of the things that might remind the board is back in 2016, we had a recommendation from GAO to develop a policy, and we did one, but it was very specific to financial management. Our aim is to expand that to all risks that WMATA has to manage as a whole. All right, just moving real quickly to slide 13, one of the accomplishments that we've made so far. We've identified major risk categories across the organization. It's typical in the management of risk to consider risk in terms of categories. What we've done is identified, unique to WMATA, based on our internal and external context, the categories of risk that we believe we should manage to. And this just means for us, given our mission and the things we aim to accomplish, we believe that for the most part, risks that we would consider will fit into these categories. It's just a way to categorize and report our risk information. Also, what's been done so far, if we move over to the next slide, back earlier this year, executive management got together to assess, conduct several risk assessment sessions, a few of them, where we've identified top 10 risks across the organization. These are entity-level risks, just in thinking through the things that are important to us. And it's important to also note that these risks also represent the seven categories of risk support that we've discussed as well. And if you think about, as we look at other agencies and other organizations, we find that at least three of those are risks that others have deemed important as we head into 2019. Okay, in summary, here are just some things to think about. Risk and internal controls are important to the success of any organization. I'm sure you would all agree. The board has an oversight responsibility for risk and internal control. We do also recognize that management has the primary responsibility and is, in fact, the first line of defense. Risk awareness is something that we should take seriously. The identification of risk and to the accomplishment of our objective is also important, but we also want to think about not just our known risks, but our emerging risks. Clearly defined business and performance objectives enable identification of risks, meeting them. With this understanding, management can design controls to mitigate those risks. When properly put in place, internal controls can provide reasonable assurance that the objectives that are set are met. I appreciate your time this morning, and I look forward to the next opportunity to meet with the board to discuss internal controls and risk matters.
Okay, thank you very much for it. It was an excellent presentation. Don't go anywhere. Just a second. Anybody have any questions? Questions at all? Yes.
Thank you. I thought that was very helpful. It seems to me, though, there's a piece missing here, because one of the things that the board has dealt with for many years that's clearly a risk to the organization is sort of long-term ridership trends. Now, some of this is internally manageable with service levels and reliability, but some of it clearly is not. There is an outside context that affects whether people choose to travel 9 to 5 for their jobs, whether they choose to take transit over something else, that kind of thing. And I sort of don't see any assessment of that in your overall context of identifying risks. I wonder if you could speak to that.
So in terms of risk identification, we take this across the board. I know there's been various efforts across the organization to study ridership trends. What we just illustrated to you is just to let you know that management is focused on risk, and in our effort to do that, it was assessed as the top 10 are the ones that we highlighted. So there are other activities and other risks that have been identified that were not shared with you in this presentation. So the top 10 is all we shared at this point. We can certainly provide additional information to you at a different time.
I guess just my 11 years or 10 years on the board, I would say that probably ridership trends ought to be in the top 10.
Okay, thank you. Other questions or comments from anyone? Okay, thank you very much for your excellent presentation. With that, the Executive Committee meeting is adjourned, and we'll go right into the Safety and Operations Committee with Mr. Carter.